Behind the Scenes, March 24th, 2005.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is Behind the Scenes, an inside look at what it takes to put together a podcast and make it work. Check it out.
Okay, so this is Craig Patchett, and this is Behind the Scenes for the 23rd of March, Wednesday. Well, actually, but 24th by the time I get this up. I'm doing another interview edition of Behind the Scenes, since this is the San Diego Podcasters meeting. And I'm going to basically give this show over to Kit Mitzel from The Daily Dribble, which is a music-based show that is at dailydribble.net. And it's a great show. I would definitely recommend that you check it out. And hopefully by the time we get done with this interview, you'll have a few reasons to do so. So, Kit, thanks a lot for taking the time to do this interview.
Well, thank you for having me.
Why don't we start by just giving a little bit of background about the show and how you got it started and exactly what the show is about.
Okay, well how I got started is I was at work, and a guy at work told me about podcasting, and you know, he kind of was in it at a casual level, really. And then he told me about it, and I got into it, and I was like, hey, this is really cool. I want to do my own. So I eventually got, you know, I had some equipment together, and I plugged it all in. And I put together just like a real quick, it was about 6 minutes when I got done, and it was just, it's horrible. The first episode of The Daily Dribble is pretty much unlistenable, but it was a real good proof of concept. Hey, this is how you can put the show together. This is what you need to create an MP3, and this is what you need to do to get it out on an RSS feed and get all the technical details taken care of. And then on the second show, I found a song that was Creative Commons licensed music that I could play, and kind of took it from there. And I had a story in the second show of an experience of mine, and I had some music in the show. And then from that point on, it just kind of became more and more about the music, and I wanted to go out and find different music that you haven't heard before, and especially music that from countries that you don't usually hear from. And so I went out and I found a lot of great music out there on the internet that I was able to play. It was all PodSafe music, and it was all music that I could play on my show and get the music out there and let people listen to it.
I think that's a great idea. Now, we were talking earlier at dinner, your last show has had music from Sweden, you've had music from Indonesia.
Now the name of the actual country escapes me, but there's one from Sweden, there's from Holland. I found a couple of songs from a band in Holland, and somewhere in the Asian area. So there's a lot of great music from just about everywhere, and I do have a lot of music from the United States and a lot from the UK, but I also try to go from out beyond those boundaries.
Okay. Now, what's your background?
My background is mostly in computer science, highly technical professionally, and you know, do a lot with computers. I do computer programming, and this basically, you know, I've been peripherally involved with music, you know, every now and then, but I've always loved music, and I just wanted to be able to get into it and find music that I like and share it with other people.
So, would you say that your biggest drive then to do the podcast was from the technical side of things, or just the wanting to be able to share the music? What was it that really, you know, was the motivation for doing the show?
I think the biggest motivation was a hidden inner performer. The technical aspect is kind of cool, but it's, you know, a lot of people have mentioned this. It's basically just a jumble of old technologies put together in a new way. So that part, you know, doesn't really excite me that much. It's more about the music and getting it out there and being the person to play that music for the people.
So the creative side of it.
Yes.
Great. How long have you been doing the show so far?
I've been doing it for about, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. And so I'm up to about show 7. I stopped actually numbering the shows. I used to put, you know, show number 1, show number 2, etc. up there. But I've started just putting them out in like a date format, like I think pretty much everybody else does. And just, you know, putting them by the date, because it didn't make much sense to me to number them. I mean, didn't really get any information out of it that way.
Okay. Now, what's the process of putting your show together?
What I do is first I go out and I find the music, and a new bit that I've started including is the rabbit report from Down the Rabbit Hole. which is a great podcast. They're brand new. They've only done like 4 shows, but they put out this like mini news report, and they say, you know, if you want to include this in your show, go ahead. So I did, and so I've got a little bit of news, and I've got all the music, and then I sit down and I record all of the in-between parts of, you know, me announcing, me doing the intro, and all of the in-between parts, and I run through, and sometimes I retake, do take after take after take, and then once I have all of that done, I chop it all up, splice the music in, because what I found is I don't really want to try and play the music through my recording system. I'd much rather drop the music file right into my show's file so that I can get the best quality music that I can possibly get. I don't want to degrade the sound of the music at all, so I just drop it in the show and, you know, chop it all up and get the good takes and put it all together.
That makes sense.
And then after that, I encode to MP3, put all the tag information up there, throw it up there. I'm hosted with Liberated Syndication, so I don't have to do a whole lot with the RSS feed, so that takes that much, at least, you know, at least there's that much that I don't have to do myself.
Right. Okay, well, I'll come back and talk about that in a second. What are you doing as far as MP3 quality?
As far as bit rate?
Yeah, as far as bit rate is concerned, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I have my notes at home that I usually mix my show to. My first show was pretty low. And then I started bumping it up a little bit, and then when I went with Liberated Syndication, I had some more room. So I think it's at about 44 and 96 kilohertz.
And okay, so that was basically the compromise area where you found that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I do a half-hour show, you know, 20-minute to half-hour show, and it usually ends up being about 20 megabytes.
Okay. Now, you told me before that you were on Windows,
mm-hmm.
and then what are you using for software and for hardware as far as getting the show in and then mixing it?
The software I'm using is Goldwave. It's a shareware program out there that's I found pretty useful for it. And then for as far as hardware, I have a Carvin mixer, like head unit for a PA system that I plugged a microphone into, and all of that just kind of goes into the built-in sound on my PC. I don't have a real high-end sound card on my PC, but it just kind of goes into the built-in.
How long would you say that it takes you to put a show together? It's a 20-minute show, so.
Yeah, 20 to 30 usually, and it really depends on how many retakes. I've been getting a little bit better at it, so I don't have to do so many retakes. And so I've been able to cut the time that I actually spend recording the show down quite a bit, and I don't do quite as much talking as I did in the earlier shows. I used to do about an hour or so of just sitting there talking in the microphone, and then a good couple hours pasting it all together and mixing it down, and then another hour or so posting it up, getting the show notes out and all that stuff. So it would be several hours worth of work. But I've gotten it down to where I don't have to do quite so many retakes, and I'm not talking quite as much, so it's pretty easy to just, you know, cut and paste the parts that I want and get it mixed together.
So what would you guess at the moment?
Probably still takes me about 2 or 3 hours to do it at the moment.
Behind the scenes, when I can actually manage to keep it down to 20 minutes, I'd say, you know, 2 to 3 hours is probably about what I take
right.
as well.
And that's not including going out and finding the songs. It takes a long time to go out and find those songs.
Exactly. So, yeah. I don't think people realize sometimes, you know, listening to a 20-minute show, how much time goes in, quote, behind the scenes.
Right.
Getting that together. So now let's go back to Liberated Syndication. I know that a lot of people have been curious about Liberated Syndication. You know, the idea of unlimited bandwidth seems like it's too good to be true. What's your experience? How long have you been with them?
I've been with them for the most of the run of my show. I did the first couple of shows hosted out of my free web account that I get with my ISP. And I very, very quickly ran out of room. And so then I signed up with Liberated Syndication. I've been with them for just under a month, I think, and I've had pretty good experiences with them. I would say the concept of unlimited bandwidth is a bit of a misnomer. It's really unmetered bandwidth. So they don't charge you for however much bandwidth you're actually using. What they charge for is how much you upload in a particular month. So if you upload 100 megabytes per month, and that's your allotment, but they go ahead and archive that off, and it's still on their server, and then the next month you can upload another 100 megabytes, and, you know, just keep doing that month after month after month, and it's been working out pretty well for me.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good, because I know, like I said, you know, bandwidth is obviously a big issue for people. They've heard horror stories from podcasts that have started out and then suddenly received press from somewhere and they've exploded and it's been a nightmare for them. What now is, once that happens, well, I guess obviously if the bandwidth is unmetered, it doesn't matter. You suddenly get successful, it's not going to be an issue.
And that's the whole point behind why they started Liberated Syndication. The whole idea behind Liberated Syndication is it's built for podcasters. And so they don't want to penalize you for having a popular show and having a lot of people download it. And, you know, so that works out.
Right. Let's talk about AMP. AMP is the Association of Music Podcasters, of which you are a member.
A brand new member. I just joined up earlier this week.
Okay. Now, exactly what is AMP?
It's a group of people that believe in independent music and getting it out there, and basically doing what I decided that, you know, what I naturally involved my show into doing. And so it just seemed like a perfect fit to join up with them, because they want to go out and find independent music, and they want to go out and podcast that independent music, and they want to make sure that the artist gets credit for that. And I want all of those same things as well. So it's just a great fit, and they have a music library that, you know, there's a lot of great people. I've been talking with them over the past week, and they're getting a music library put together that you'll be able to search by genre and other things and be able to download that music and play it on your show, as long as you adhere to their bylaws and, you know, make sure that it's all Creative Commons licensed and it's all legal and all on the up and up. But it's really a win-win situation. They get, you know, people to distribute the music, and we get music to play, and it's great.
And this library is available to members?
Yes.
Okay. That does sound like a good opportunity for people to discover new artists and, like you said, avoid the issues that come with a license.
Right, exactly.
Okay. In the process of developing and evolving your show so far, what are some of the challenges that you've run into that you would pass on wisdom about to podcasters that are coming up that are going to run into the same kinds
right.
of things?
Well, like the big thing that I ran into right away was storage space and bandwidth issues, and Liberated Syndication solved that one pretty quickly and cleanly. The other thing that I had trouble with at the beginning, and I had to ask around and stuff, was finding music to play. And at first, before I joined the Association of Music Podcasters, I looked around at GarageBand.com. And GarageBand.com has a program where if you sign up as what they call a radio partner, they'll give you access to their MP3 library. And it's, you know, it's kind of the same idea where you can play their music, and it works out pretty well.
Right. Yeah, I just signed up for that myself, actually.
Yeah.
All right, well, that sounds like a lot of good information. Any last pearls of wisdom that you'd like to pass on to listeners or anybody thinking of starting their own podcast?
I'd like to say podcasting to me is a very cooperative venture. It seems to me that other podcasters are more than willing to help out, lend a hand, give you advice, and that sort of thing. So don't be afraid to ask, because more often than not, you'll get a good answer.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. And I hope that it stays that way, too.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Again, this has been Kit Mitzel, and the show is The Daily Dribble, which you can find at dailydribble.net. And again, I would definitely recommend listening to it. And actually, you'll hear a little bit of Kit's creation at the end of our show today. Kit's done a really cool remix of the We Don't Need No Stinkin' Transmitters bit that I'll play at the end. And that wraps it up for this edition of Behind the Scenes. Actually, before I wrap up this edition, I wanted to talk a little bit about the recording setup used for this interview. Obviously, I used my trusty iRiver IFP-795, but for the mics, what I did is I used a set of lavalier stereo microphones purchased from Giant Squid Audio, and I'll provide a link to Giant Squid at the Behind the Scenes homepage, which you can reach at btscast.com or at bts.godcast.org if you're used to that URL. And the really nice thing about this pair of lavaliers, if you're doing interviews, is that they have a 5-foot cord And the two mic elements are completely separate cord-wise all the way down to the plug, which means that you have 10 feet separating the two elements with the plug in the middle. And that allows you to clip one element to you and the other element to whoever you're interviewing, put your recorder on the table between the two of you, and have up to 10 feet of separation between you. Now, if you do your setup this way and record in stereo, it gives you one person on the left channel and one person on the right channel. And then once you bring the MP3 into your recording application, you can split the two channels and have each person on a separate track. And it gives you some flexibility for mixing. Now, this is the first time I've tried this technique. I made some mistakes, and were I to do it again, I would do some things differently. First of all, these are Omni microphone elements, and I ordered the high sensitivity versions for use in doing sound seeing tours, and that's why you get so much of the background noise in the recording. The other problem with that is that not only do you get background noise, but you also pick up some of each of the other person in the interview on the other mic. And the problem with that is that once you separate the two tracks, you start to have some strange cancellation phasing errors between the two tracks. And so to get rid of that, I had to pull down each of us while the other person was speaking. And that just ended up being a whole ordeal that kind of defeated the purpose of doing it this way. So I do have a set of cardioids from Giant Squid as well. The only downside to the cardioids is that they are much less sensitive than the Omnis, even the low sensitivity Omnis. And so with the iRiver, even if you crank the iRiver gain all the way up on the mic preamp, you are still pulling in a really weak signal, or a relatively weak signal, and you're getting a lot of noise from the mic preamp. So, still looking for a solution for that. Running the Omnis with a preamp might be the solution, and running the signal through a through SoundSoap might also be an option. I just haven't had a chance to play around with it, and I didn't want to risk it on this interview. So, the interview is obviously usable, and it came out okay, but it just did involve quite a bit of work to get it to the point that that it's at. So that was the setup, and but I still, like I said, I would definitely recommend these mics, and I would definitely recommend Giant Squid. The company is pretty much a one-man operation. Darren is the proprietor over there. He has great service, great products, good workmanship, and again, I would definitely recommend his products. So check him out, get in touch with him. He can do custom work for you if you're looking for something in particular. And in this case, if you want the high sensitivity mics for the sound seeing tours, ask for the high sensitivity 61 mic elements when you order the mics. And that wraps up this edition of Behind the Scenes. Thanks for your patience as these editions have been coming out somewhat sporadically. I hope to eventually get back on a more regular schedule. And I have no promises, however, as to when that's going to happen. I will definitely be coming out with a meetup edition every 2 weeks. And we'll be doing one in between once my schedule does settle back down. So, in the meantime, make me happy and go to Podcast Alley and vote for Behind the Scenes. We've been hovering somewhere down near the bottom of the top 50. It would be really nice to be somewhere in the middle or higher. And there are more than enough listeners of this show that if even a percentage of you went over to Podcast Alley and voted, we would be way up there. So show your approval for this show by voting or at least leaving a comment at Podcast Alley for the show. I really appreciate the feedback. And again, this is a community podcast, and community means involvement. So if you have any tips, any feedback, any questions that you'd like answered on the show, or anything else at all that you'd like to contribute, please get in touch. send an audio comment to feedback@godcast.org or send a regular question or text email. You can also reach us at the comment line at 815-301-8600. That's 815-301-8600, and that is not a toll-free number. But you are limited to a two-minute message, so it's not going to be a very large toll. And if you're using Skype out, it's only going to be a 10-cent call, so no excuses not to leave a message. And in any case, that's it. This is Craig Patchett. I hope you have a great week or 2 weeks until the next show. God bless.
Transmitters. 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 We don't need no stinking transmitters.